Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'm Michelle Slade, and you are listening to Heroes of the North State right here on KCNR. We have an amazing lineup this evening, and I know I say that every single episode, but today we really have a cause that's near and dear to my heart, and I know very, very much all of our guests tonight and those in our community. We are here with Michael Burke. Michael is the Executive Director of Pathways for Hope for Children. And welcome, Mike. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me and my team here.
Absolutely. So we're going to dive right in, but if you are new to Heroes of the North State and it's your first time listening in, this is a show that talks about unsung heroes in our community, people who rise above, make a difference in the lives of others just simply because it's the right thing to do. And every single month we have someone on the show that it's just amazing how much people are willing to give back, what people will do, the lengths they will go to make sure that someone else in our community has an amazing life. And today, our topic, Michael, is Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month.
Every April is Child Abuse Awareness Month nationally, so in Shasta County. Pathways to Hope for Children is Shasta County's Child Abuse Prevention Coordinating Council. So we take it very seriously to get the word out and let people know what's going on in our community concerning child abuse.
So, long title, very important words in there. Tell me a little bit about what the council is.
So our organization is a 501c3 that really focuses on giving children a better life, on a community. Our mission is that we're a community that values children and families. So that's what our programs are focused on. We're on the prevention arm. We do some intervention work, but really what we're trying to do is get the word out that you're not alone parenting. You know, there's lots of books on parenting, but there's no book on parenting your child. And so our staff is very well trained with parenting tips, resources, all kinds of things to help you be a better parent, to help you get through those tough times, and really a lot of programs focused on developing youth, from our Camp Hope program to our teen centers, to just all of the things we do with our parent cafes and everything else.
So giving you the tools you need to create a safe and healthy environment for your children.
Yeah, and so let's start there, because why is that so needed in our community? Right. And it's because child abuse is three times higher in Shasta County than it is the rest of the state of California. In Shasta County, there's 18.8 substantiated cases of child abuse per 1,000 people. In the state of California, that number is 5.8. So 18.8 substantiated cases in Shasta County compared to 5.8 per 1,000 people in the state of California. So we're three times higher in child abuse.
When I heard that number, so every year, well, often we talk about children in need.
Yeah.
And when I heard that number, so like many of my listeners, I'm watching our media, our local media, and I see that educational spot come on where you were talking about that. And although I know the need, it just hit me like a ton of bricks, because it's a number, but it's a number that represents a life.
Yes.
And so when you think about it from that perspective, and I think of our county and how beautiful it is and how much we all do to support each other, and we still have a number that high.
Yeah. It's shocking and staggering. Last month you had the ACEs team in to talk about adverse childhood experiences. And one of the reasons they probably talked about was how high Shasta County is in adverse childhood experience or ACEs. The reason we're so high in adverse childhood experiences is because of our high rate of child abuse. Now, this isn't something that people usually want to talk about.
Right.
It's not
the warm and fuzzy.
I'm not always invited to dinner parties, but it is something we have to talk about. In 2022, these numbers were just released April 1st of 2023, but in 2022, our county had 3,514 reports of child abuse to HHSA's Child Welfare Department, to Children's Services. 3,541. Think about how many that is a day.
Right.
Of those, 2,372 were investigated.
Wow.
So think about the workload involved in one taking 3,500 calls and then investigating 2,372 of those calls. Of those 2,372, 710 were substantiated for abuse. Mm-hmm. So right now we have a very powerful, what I call art display, art in public places in front of the Wind River Mini Mart with the partnership with the Redding Rancheria. We put 710 wooden figures, wooden kids holding pinwheels in front of that Mini Mart. And when you drive by, it's a striking example of how many children are impacted in our community because of child abuse.
Yeah.
Now, those are only reported, so we know many go unreported. But think about that. So that number of 710, of those, 281 were removed from the home. That's a significant increase from 2021. In 2021, there were only 210 kids removed from the home.
Wow.
In 2022, it was 281. So we know that foster children have a higher rate of adverse childhood experiences or ACEs than kids who are, you know, stay in a traditional home. So this is something we can change. And we added this year when we looked into it. 53% of those kids that went into foster care were under the age of 5.
Oh, my goodness.
53%. So this is a bummer topic to start our show with, but we're doing something about it.
Exactly.
It's not just that we're saying, oh, this is awful, this is horrible,
and move on.
Move on. And, you know, I'll say this a couple of times throughout the show, if you suspect child abuse, you should report it. They'd rather have it reported than not, and that number is 530-225-5144. That's the number for child welfare where you can report child abuse if you see it. Dee's here with me, and she's going to talk about mandated reporting classes that she teaches in our community. We educate over 500, probably even higher, number of people per year on being mandated reporters. Anybody who works with children is automatically a mandated reporter, so what does that mean? But, yeah, child abuse is in our community is something that we can actually do something about. It should be going down, but with 3,514 reports of child abuse in 2022. That's up from 3,295 in 2021. And it was only 2,800 in 2020, but that's because of the COVID.
I was going to say, let me ask you that question. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the numbers have gone up, but hope is in your name. So I know we're going to get to
We're going to get there.
But before we do, it is important that our community understands the real issues that we're facing today.
Right.
That we woke up and here we are. And I know, I wanted to jump right in. Tell me, I want to talk with your staff as well and the volunteers that are here. But tell me a little bit about you, Michael. What is your background with our community, just so that our listeners can get to know you?
Well, in 1988, I came here as a 21-year-old photographer for the Record Searchlight as an intern.
Yes.
And in 1989, I came on full-time at the Record Searchlight. So I've been here for well over 34 years.
34.
And I've seen the community grow and ebb and flow. I've seen good times and bad. And when I got to the end of my journalism career, I thought, what do I want to do?
Right.
And I actually went into mentoring after that. When my wife and I got married in 2001 and I became a dad, I realized that running a journalist life, working weekends and nights, wasn't something I wanted to do. This mentoring idea, when I was a journalist, I did a story on Big Brothers Big Sisters. It used to be in town. Then it became Plus One Mentors. And now it's Catalyst Mentoring. But I took the job running Plus One Mentors. And I was a mentor for a young child when I was when he was 7 years old. He's now in his 30s, and we're still connected.
Wow,
but I got to find out that making a difference in the life of a child was impactful. And Christopher taught me, you know, it always says when you volunteer, you get more than you give.
Mm-hmm.
And Christopher taught me that children just need somebody to listen. They just need somebody in their life to believe in them. Yeah. And that took me down this road that in 2010, I was the founding director of the Shasta Family Justice Center, which yes. turned into One Safe Place, which, you know, all of that. And eventually I went to work nationally and came back here after to run what was the Shasta County Child Abuse Prevention Coordinating Council.
And then here we are today.
As Pathways to Hope for Children.
So we squeezed that into like 2 minutes,
yep.
but that's a lifetime of work. Thank you so much for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we are going to take a little break. We're going to come back in just a little bit, meet the rest of your team, and learn about how you can get involved, learn about just hope here in our community. We'll be right back. I'm Michelle Slade. You're listening to Heroes of the North State.
Hi, friends. This is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor, La Gloria Cubana S. San Andres. A new offering from La Gloria Cubana, draped in a dark, oily San Andres wrapper, direct from the volcanic and potassium-rich soil of Mexico, rolled at the El Credito factory in the lush valleys of the Dominican Republic, where their motto is, one factory, 100 artisans, one goal, to craft the most exquisite cigars on the planet. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractor. Gates open at 5, rodeo is 7, and an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows and Red Bluff Guide. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by country music star Jackson D. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and cut collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Well, welcome back to the show. I'm Michelle Slade, and you're listening to Heroes of the North State right here on KCNR Radio. And today we have a topic that is really near and dear to my heart, and it is about Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month. And I have live in the studio with me the team that works at Pathways to Hope for Children. And Michael Burke is our executive director, and at the break, you were telling us a little bit about your background and then how your program with the new title came about. So you're going to say that better than I can. So I'm going to hand that over to you, Michael. And
absolutely. So as I was saying, I started the Shasta Family Justice Center in 2010 and really got a heart for working with survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse, and really got into that world of how can survivors that have undergone tremendous trauma thrive and get through that trauma. One of the volunteers said you take them from survivors to thrivers. And so I got really involved in that work to the point where I actually went to work nationally for Alliance for Hope International. And we ran Camp Hope programs. Camp Hope's a summer program for youth exposed to domestic violence, sexual assault, and child abuse. We started that in Shasta County in 2012. So we're going on our 12th year here. And it started off with 78 kids here in Shasta County in 2012. Mm-hmm. It was based on a model out of San Diego that Casey Gwynn started. Mm-hmm. And then that led to Camp Hope, California. To Camp Hope America, and I was actually took a job as national director of Camp Hope America for about a year and a half as I was working for Alliance for Hope International, starting family justice centers, working in strangulation assault education and Camp Hope for survivors. And then I kind of got tired of traveling.
Right.
And my son was a sophomore. He was very engaged in theater. I was missing his shows, and I'm like, I need to come back home.
Yeah.
So I started looking for what did I want to do with that passion. And there was an opening for executive director of the Shasta County Child Abuse Prevention Coordinating Council. Right. Now, when I got that job in 2019, and the first thing I did is really look at the name. Mm-hmm. I went to Elisa in the PLAG group, and I asked them, I said, what do you think about being associated with child abuse? And they said, well, it's a great outcome, but we don't say the name. The employees at CAPC didn't say where they worked. They said they were parent partners, but they didn't want to be the child abuse people.
Oh,
and in my journey with Camp Hope, what I learned is hope can be measured.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is an outcome. Hope can be taught, and hope can be measured. And so we refocused our organization with a positive goal. So child abuse prevention is a great outcome, but it's an avoidance goal. You're getting to something good by going around something bad.
Mm-hmm.
And in the science of hope, what you want to do is have achievement goals. High hope people have achievement-based goals. So when we became Pathways to Hope for Children, everybody wanted to be part of the hope group.
Yes.
Nobody really wants to be part of the abuse group.
Right.
So that's why we rebranded our organization in 2019. We're still the Shasta County Child Abuse Prevention Coordinating Council, but we have a focus on hope. And we do hope education. We've brought Dr. Chan Hellman out to our community twice to help train over 300 hope navigators. And hope, simply put, is the belief my future is brighter than my past, and I have the power to make it so. So when you think about all of these trauma kids, 3,514 reports of child abuse, those kids are going to have to make a choice at some point. These 710 substantiated cases of abuse, they're going to have to make a choice at some point that they're in control of their destiny. So hope's made up of three simple principles. You have goal setting at the top. You have an outcome that you hope to achieve. When a survivor, a child, or anybody, your own child with zero ACEs, if they set the goal themselves, they're more likely to achieve it. If we as a community set the goal for them, they're less likely to achieve it. And Dee was a parent partner, and she can talk about how this worked with the client she served in our Road to Resilience program. But you have goals at the top, and then you have agency, but don't think of agency like we're an agency. It's more the internal or the willpower to make that goal happen, and then the pathways. So you have goal setting, agency, and pathway is how you achieve hope. And it, like I said, you can measure it. We can tell that a 2-point increase in hope, the science shows a 2-point increase in hope is a letter grade for a student.
Wow.
You can take a student, if you know a child has a goal of playing sports, but you have to have a C average, or being in theater and you have to have a C average, that if they're in a D average, we can implement hope theory with those children, help raise their grades to C's and actually do what they want to do. And one of the tenets of hope is hope begets hope. So when they're successful and they get to play the sport or be in the play they want, that builds on each other. And before you know it, those kids are graduating with honors and just doing wonderful things. So people who, what we've also seen in the science of hope is that it's a great mitigator of ACEs, of adverse childhood experiences. We know those with an ACE score of 4 or higher are 1,200 times more likely to try to commit suicide as an adult.
Oh,
1,200 times more likely if you have an ACE score of 4 or higher. At Pathways to Hope for Children, 67.5% of our clients have an ACE score of 4 or higher. In Shasta County, 39.8% have an ACE score of 4 or higher. In the state of California, it's 16.7.
Oh, my goodness.
So you can tell that, you know, the clients we serve really need hope.
Yeah.
And we also know from the data and the science that we can save children's lives because low or no hope kids have a 48% suicidal ideation, where high hope kids have a 12% suicidal ideation.
That's huge.
So by increasing hope, we are actually saving the lives of kids. We've seen it at Camp Hope.
Yeah.
We have videos on our website of people talking about their journey and coming into camp suicidal as children and coming out the other end as strong individuals with a future. And it's just remarkable.
Mm. So, Michael, all of this, and what you've been able to do, and you don't do alone. You have an amazing team with you.
Amazing team.
Let's introduce your team here.
I'm going to ask them to do it.
Hi, yes. So we have a team of over 50 people, I'd say, at this point. So we're very lucky, but I'm one of the lucky few here today, and my name is Gibson Collard. I'm the volunteer coordinator. So I oversee all the volunteers, and we actually have a volunteer here today, so that's wonderful. We received a grant about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago now.
About a year,
Which we're calling Hope Park, which is a program for older adults, 60 plus, to come check out and work with our teens and our teen centers. So as we can tell, volunteering in itself is really beneficial. I just pulled a study this morning, and it's like 84% reported improved or stable health, 32% reported improved health, general health, 78% felt less depressed. So these feelings of isolation and depression are really prevalent in our community, especially, I'd say, after COVID. So it's a nice way to get back into socialization, and especially with the next generation coming up and kind of learning about what the future holds and making an impact on that. And for the teens, we just heard all those statistics about how maybe there's some instability at home, and it would be really great for teens to have someone stable coming into their lives and lending a listening ear or doing some activities that are fun with them. And Hope Park is really amazing in the way that we also offer outdoor activities. So we've taken teens and older adults on some fun adventures to kayaking at Whiskeytown Lake, horseback riding down in Anderson, rock climbing, and we're just going to continue those adventures. So I'll pass the mic on now to our amazing volunteer.
Well, before we do
that,
we're going to go ahead and take another break because these breaks are what makes this show possible so we can get this information out. So we will be right back. You're listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Heroes of the North State, and we are here tonight with Pathways to Hope for Children, and we have been learning so much about the need in our community regarding Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month and what this organization does to help families and young people have hope and be able to move forward and have strong, productive lives. We just had been talking with Michael Burke, the executive director, and also Gibson was here, and she was talking to us about the as a volunteer coordinator. We also have a couple of other people who are really important here for our cause, and we're going to go ahead and introduce Elise Cochran, and she is a volunteer and a parent leader advisory board member. So welcome. Thank you for coming.
Hi, thank you for having me. I got involved with Pathways to Hope for Children as a volunteer when I gained the second round of guardianship with my two grandsons.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so you can tell. I mean, you can, yes. It's okay. Take your time.
I received services in Shasta County for myself and my boys, and I realized how important it was to give back, and I found out about Pathways to Hope for Children. And so I called them, and I got involved with the Parent Leader Advisory Group and became a parent leader. And there's so much that I've been involved in that has to do with the organization. And I would recommend that parents get involved.
Yeah.
with Pathways to Hope for Children. When I first reached out, I was skeptical because of the fact that they were the child abuse prevention.
Right.
Yeah. I realized that I did want to give back.
Yeah.
And I did want to be able to support other families that were going through the struggles that I was going through. So.
And that's just that you're not alone.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, I know too many families, personally myself, who are in a very similar situation. And because of programs like this and what Michael's team is doing and all of you here and your efforts to identify that you have a family need, and to be strong enough to make the phone call, to get the support and the help that you need, and then to find yourself in a position where now you can be that volunteer to someone else who is at the beginning of their journey where you were, I just want to say thank you. That is takes a lot of strength, a lot of hope, and a lot of perseverance to be able to do that. And your grandchildren will definitely thank you one day.
Oh, thank you so much.
I appreciate that.
And not only that, Elisa was nominated for a Parent Leadership Award at the state level recently.
Oh, my goodness.
And she won.
Here's our own son,
so she's
hero,
being honored at the state by the the state level Office of Child Abuse Prevention, OCAP, for being an outstanding parent leader in the state of California for her work that she does here in Shasta County and with Pathways to Hope for Children. So we're honored to have her won, but honored to see her recognized at the state level.
And to thrive.
And to thrive.
And this. This right here, see, now you're going to make me cry, because this right here is what this show's all about. It is the unsung heroes like yourself that come in and quietly sit in the background and say, oh, I just do this little thing, but you are a role changer. You are shifting the minds of your grandchildren. You are helping change a community's mindset and family's mindset, not on a local level, but on the state level. You are a true hero in my mind, and I'm sure in our community, and definitely in your grandchildren.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, gosh, I hate to move on, but for the sake of radio time, we also have Dee here with us. So, Dee, introduce yourself and tell us about your role.
Okay. My name is Dee Mitchell. I am the education coordinator at Pathways to Hope for Children. I've been with the agency for just about 3.5 years now. My first 2 years I spent doing intensive case management in our Road to Resilience program. So that was working with pregnant moms and moms up to 6 months postpartum with any history of substance use. And then I got a phone call one day after work while I was sitting on my back porch, and my supervisor said, hey, you're going to start an education department. And I said, oh, no, thank you. So here I am a year and a half later. So my primary focus at Pathways is to run our court-ordered parent education program. Mm-hmm. So we offer a 16-week parenting program for families who are involved with children's services and who are going through dependency court with the goal of reunification for their children. Mm-hmm. So that 16 weeks focuses on the health, the welfare and institution code, as well as group triple P. Very effective. We incorporate hope theory into everything we do, even parent education. We're seeing huge jumps in hope scores, which is fabulous. I also do the mandated child abuse reporter trainings for the agency. So any community member, any organization, business who would like more information about mandated child abuse reporting, the training is 2 hours, and it covers what to look for. It covers how to report. It covers who needs to report. And, of course, the hope side of it about really getting out there, identifying these things, making those phone calls, and helping to end child abuse in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for taking that challenge on. That's a, you know, you
it,
and Michael, both, well, all four of you, but seeing the need and taking something from the ground up and creating something that is good for everyone, a program that has, I'm not even going to say the right words, but you speak it best, Michael, but as you come into this, to see the need and be able to grow an organization.
We try to foster hope
foster
in our community.
That's what I'm, yes.
And Dee's done a remarkable job. She's seen, remember I said a 2-point increase in hope is statistically significant. She has seen 17-point increases in hope in some of the clients she served. Some of the people that go through the class actually get their, they've come in not thinking they would ever get their children back, and they wound up getting them back early because of the way Dee and Amber engage. Amber's another one that's on Dee's team, that the way they engage these folks. So it's a remarkable program. And as we started the show, we talked about the problem.
Right.
And what you can hear around the table as we just do introductions, that we at Pathways to Hope strive to be the solution.
Exactly.
That we're not just going to say this is okay in our community, that we create programs. A lot of our programs, as Dee mentioned, we build the plane while we're flying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this week.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. This week we're in Juvenile Hall. We're doing a Camp Hope program in Juvenile Hall in the JRF, in the Juvenile Retention Facility. It's remarkable what's going on with this idea that cultivating hope in all kinds of situations is possible. And again, it's measurable. We measure hope in everything we do. On our website at hopeshasta.org, if you backslash and type in hope, you'll see our recent study that we did that shows statistically significant improvements in hope, resilience, and 2,000 published studies on hope. Hope's the single best predictor of well-being over any other measure of trauma recovery. And probably my favorite thing out of that report, the University of Oklahoma Tulsa did an in-depth study of our program that actually started in January of 2020, mm-hmm. when we didn't know there was going to be a pandemic. So then all the research was really done through the pandemic. But we had statistically significant increases. My favorite was my ability to understand how trauma affects my children.
Yes.
So we are helping parents learn that their trauma is affecting their children. And when you know what's going on, you can actually break that generational cycle.
Mm-hmm. As you were talking, I've thought about this before when I've had families, you just know people in the community mm-hmm. who can use, you know, maybe a little more hope and a little more direction. And one of the most common things I know I've heard, well, if I tell someone I have that need, they're going to take my kids from me.
Absolutely.
And that's so that misconception of it's okay to say you need help. And it's okay because there's people like all of you out there willing to provide that help that provides hope with it.
So he can probably address that directly with her clients.
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing I know that I make sure every single client that I work with knows is that asking for help is self-care, and it's strong. It's not a weakness.
Exactly.
I'm a firm believer in we don't know what we don't know until we know better.
Yes.
So really, I try to meet every single parent where they're at, every single client where they're at, and just provide not only support and advocacy, but give them the skills they need mm-hmm. and just the comfort in knowing that there are people out here mm-hmm. who want to see your family succeed and thrive. And that is really what we do. That's what we aim to do with every client, every program.
So I'll speak for myself, a brief little story. So I didn't necessarily have all the tools growing up that I would need to be the parent I wanted to be. And I can remember when my single-digit kids started becoming my double digits mm-hmm. and the stress of being a mom and knowing what to do, I knew I didn't have those skill sets to raise the kind of teenager I wanted to. So I reached out for counseling. Well, back, without dating myself, back in that time, if you went to counseling, it's because there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And I can remember being proud to say, yeah, I'm taking parenting classes. And it wasn't publicly necessarily accepted back then. And they would go, well, why are you doing that? Because I don't want to be a bad parent. I want to be a better parent. So I want to get ahead of it before. So I know there's got to be others out in our community who are like me. And thankfully, you know, 20 years later, 25 years later, that stigma, I hope, has changed. I believe it has changed.
It absolutely has changed. And now's a good time to give our phone number, which is 530-242-2020. It's a great way to reach out and set in our Family Resource Center. Candy will answer the phone and she'll be there for you. And she'll be able to say, what can I do to help? And we can get a parent partner. We have a lot of people who self-refer into our parent partner program.
Fantastic.
From 0 to 17 years old with your kids is something that we really encourage people to reach out to us. We also have our hotline for Hope we established during the COVID response, and it's run by our parent leaders now. And that number is 530-710-8609. And if you want to talk to somebody like Elisa or a parent leader, you can call that number and we will help you out. And if it's after hours, we'll take your number down and we'll get back to you. But nobody has to do this alone.
No.
Nobody has to say, I don't know what to do and there's no resources out there for me. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And also, so what's your website?
Our website is hopeshasta.org. It's probably the best thing you can take out of this call is to memorize that. We made it super easy, hopeshasta.org. It has a list of all of our services, whether it's Camp Hope, our teen centers, our Hope Park volunteer program, our parent partners, our court-ordered parent education. We do so much that... Mm-hmm. instills hope. And that's the common thread that, you know, Gibson can talk about after, is how you can get more involved.
Exactly.
We come back from the break. But it, this common thread is weaving hope into people's lives and letting you know that your future is brighter than your past, and you take, you have the power to make it so. And yeah, it's just exciting times.
You hear the cue music. We're cueing the music. That's our cue to go to a commercial break. We will be right back. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, everyone. You're listening to Heroes of the North State, and I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing. Thank you for listening.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Now at Turtle Bay Museum, tree houses. Look who's living in the trees. On display now through May 14th, featuring immersive and educational exhibits for kids and families of all ages. All about trees, animals, responsible forestry, sustainability, and more. Come explore the museum, forest camp, wildlife center, gardens, and more with the whole family. Tree houses. Look who's living in the trees. On display now at Turtle Bay Museum. Presented by Cheryl Bambauer. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hey there, friends. RC from Tobacco and Brew, sharing with you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Foundation Cigar Company, The Tabernacle. A full-bodied smoking experience, this stick was curated with the connoisseur in mind, as well as our value-conscious customer. This ensemble of lung filler from Honduras and Nicaragua is swaddled with the sensational Connecticut broadleaf wrapper. This smoke is a luxurious gift for any cigar aficionado. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing. I am here tonight. We're talking Pathways to Hope for Children, talking with. And, gosh, there has been so much going on. April is Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month, and we have, if you're just tuning in, been talking to all the leadership teams, but we have a star volunteer who's my local hero for sure, and I'm sure soon to be yours. Shared her story a little bit earlier. She's not only a volunteer, but she's also helping to raise her grandchildren and providing hope for their future. Not only for the future, but for today. So welcome back, Elisa. And let's talk a little bit more about your volunteerism and your role with Pathways to Hope for Children.
Okay. Thank you for that wonderful intro.
You're welcome.
I will try and live up to that. when I became a volunteer, like I said, it was as part of the parent leader advisory group. And then I became a parent leader and got involved in what that had to do with, and I became a chairperson of the Plague Supervisory Committee, and I did my MCART training, and I did parent cafes, and I did parent cafe training to become a table host and a host, and I did the Hotline for Hope, and I am winning the OCAP, or being presented the OCAP Parent Leadership Award for the second time. Wow. When I receive it. I also received it in 21. I am trained with the Center for Mind-Body Medicine to help kids grades 6 through 12 to have the coping skills in the classroom and become more mindful of the moment that they're in. I am a part of Hope Park. I got 20 hours of training through that as a volunteer, and I get to hang out with the teens, and I get to do the adventures with them. I'm part of the Nurturing Fathers program.
Wow.
I will be co-facilitating the second cohort that's starting on May 12th that has to do with that. I am a Hope Navigator.
Wow.
So, yeah, the list just goes on and on of the trainings and the opportunities that you're provided when you become a volunteer at Pathways to Hope for Children.
That is an amazing tool chest, by the way.
Mm-hmm. She's an amazing, amazing person.
Yes, and so how you find the time to do it all, but we want to just thank you for doing that. And there's so much, I'm sure, all those titles are like an accordion of information behind that. So you're going to want to visit hopeshasta.org to find out about all those different ways that you can get involved. And another person here, let's go back and chat a little bit with Gibson. Tell us, as the volunteer coordinator, how do you get involved? What are you looking for? How does someone become connected?
Yeah, great question. So anyone is welcome to volunteer. We do have a training that we offer because we don't want to just throw you in the shark tank. So we have 8 hours for our general volunteers. And our general volunteers generally help out with our events, such as we just did a color run. We had lots going on. We still have lots going on this April. Such as like bridge lighting, and we have cool April nights, and Mike will talk a little bit more about everything that's coming up that you can jump right in and help us out with. And then also for Hope Park, we offer, like Elisa said, 20 hours of training, which sounds like a lot, but it's really the tools that you need to kind of interact with the next generation. Just thinking about things like gender identity. What does that mean? And that's important to kids coming up these days.
Mm-hmm. And what is Hope Park?
Hope Park is the grant we received a year or so mm-hmm. ago that has to do with older adults 68 okay, plus yeah. that, yes, run and come and bond with our teens. It's kind of like a big brother, big sister program,
okay.
but it's a little bit different. We're switching that narrative because older adults are coming into the teen centers. So it's really getting active and involved in their lives as opposed to children going into a senior center. It's really supposed to be a mutual beneficial program for both sides.
So then are you paired with someone of like interest, or is it more of a group setting?
Yeah, so we have about 30 to 50 teens in both teen centers every afternoon. So it's really just jumping in and playing games with them. We have pool tables, we have air hockey, we have board games. Kids love this new game. I guess it's not that new. Magic. and so we just ask that you jump in and kind of make connections. And I think that eventually you might start recognizing a teen that comes in all the time and maybe make a deeper connection with them than all teens. But
right.
the idea is really just to reach out to everyone and have a great time.
Yeah, that's
and the
wonderful.
Cool thing about Hope Park is it's focused around adventure activities. So a lot of older adults are feeling isolated and lonely, especially coming out of COVID.
Right.
But here they get to go. So far we've done rock climbing. We've done kayaking.
Okay.
We've done horseback riding. We're looking at doing snowshoeing
mm-hmm.
if the weather holds. We had that all scheduled, and
yes.
Snowmageddon 2 happened.
And then,
we're looking at going rafting and probably high ropes course. Again, you don't have to be that active to do it as an older adult. You just supporting the children can be really amazing, and Gibson
yeah.
can tell you how you can get involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would second that. I mean, for example, the kayaking, we put one older adult in the kayak, and then it a teen and older in the kayak together. So it was a bonding of mutual, like, nice. Rowing together and taking the pressure off on both sides a little bit. And then for horseback riding, it was amazing how many teens had not ridden or been around horses before. So even just lending that hand of helping a teen up for the first time, I think, was quite impactful.
Mm-hmm. How does a teen get involved?
A teen can just come in and get their parents to sign a waiver at either teen center. Anyone is welcome. We're located at Four Corners in Reading on Hartnell and Churn Creek. So a lot of Enterprise kids come through and Parsons. And then down in Anderson, we have a lot of New Tech kids coming over because we're a few blocks away. Yeah. And as for volunteers, and if they want to get involved, you can go to helpshasta.org, and there's a volunteer tab that you can just go and fill out an application. You can also just grab one from the teen centers and fill it out right there and have a chat with me, take a little tour of the teen centers. Feel that positive energy. A lot of people walk in and they're like, wow, it just feels good to be here. Like, kids are having a good time. They're just playing. It's a positive energy for sure.
And what age is considered a teen now? I mean, obviously 13, but yes.
13 to 17 is the ages of the teen center that we encourage people to come in and visit. And it's really open to all of Shasta County. So, you know, if you're homeschooled, you can come in. You know, we open at 1:30 in Reading and most days 2:30 in Anderson. But if you are interested in volunteering, you can email volunteer@hopeshasta.org. Or, Gibson, what's your number?
It is 530-232-3610.
Perfect. And then if you, this is a lot of great information.
So much stuff. HopeShasta.org. It's all there.
It's right. HopeShasta.org. If for whatever reason that doesn't stick, which I imagine it will, go to My Umbrella Marketing. We have it all laid out there as well. Okay, so Michael, we're coming towards the end of our show. Tell me, is there anything that you would like to add that maybe we haven't talked about yet or maybe go more in depth?
Sure. Hope is an action. And when you take the definition, my future is brighter than my past, that's kind of optimism. It's unicorns and rainbows. It's out there somewhere. But when you take a role in making that happen, that's where the science comes in. When you're in control of your destiny, a lot of times I really love what the Shasta County Office of Education has done around their SARB program. Mm-hmm. They've really focused on making that more hope-focused, where the kids and the families are setting the goals. So a lot of times when you are working in hope theory, and we could probably spend a whole hour just talking about hope, you are looking at future memories of success. So when you're setting a goal, a lot of times you're asking, what does it look like when I achieve that goal? So I want to get a simple one. I want to get my child to school on time. Yeah. It's a common goal in our launch program. We work with First Five Shasta to put together a program for any person in Shasta County who has a kindergartner.
Yeah.
And making sure they understand the importance of attendance. So getting my child to school on time is often a goal. So we'll ask that parent, what does it feel like when you get your child to school on time? My child's so much happier. They get to eat breakfast there and they get lunch and they get to see their kids and they get to learn something. And we have I pick them up from school and they're full of energy and excitement. If I get them there late, they're angry at me all day and they don't learn. Mm-hmm. So you can see that future memory of success can be a driver. And so what's the blocks and barriers to getting your child to school on time? Well, maybe that parent is self-medicating their trauma and they're drinking at night and they're sleeping in or they're using drugs or they're doing something to numb the pain of their adverse childhood experience.
Right.
You know, when they were kids. And a lot of times we don't dig into that.
Yeah.
We don't dig into what happened to you, not what did you do, but what happened to you. And when we can unpack that, we can help those parents really achieve their goals. Because if their goal is to get their child to school on time, what tools can they have to not medicate at night, to drink or to use drugs? Or maybe it's just as simple as they need to buy an alarm clock, and we have money in our budgets to buy that alarm clock and make sure if that's the block and barrier. But that future memory of success is a key to Hope Navigation. And like I said, we have over 300 trained Hope Navigators in our community, and they use an evidence-based or evidence-informed curriculum with worksheets. I mean, we had an employee do a Hope worksheet on making spaghetti dinner.
Oh, wow.
You have to start with the basics. And what we try to get people to understand is there's four levels to hope. There's hope, rage, despair, and apathy. Apathy is the opposite of hope, and it's when you don't care anymore. And you're not usually going to go from apathy to thriving. You're not going to go from homeless to housed in a day. You might go from homeless to getting something to eat.
Yeah.
Taking care of Maslow's basic hierarchy of needs before you move up the system.
Yeah.
And so that's what we really want to encourage people to do, is realize you don't have to do it all in one day, but you just have to take control, and you need to set your goals.
Yeah, to do something.
Yep.
So that's our cue. Oh, goodness. So our show, our time is up, but thank you, all of you, for coming. Thank you for providing hope in our community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving of yourselves. And for those of you who may be just catching the tail end, or if you didn't get a chance to write it down, visit hopeshasta.org, because all this amazing information and the team's photos are all on there. And you really can make a difference in someone's life. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you, everyone, for coming. I'm Michelle Slade with Heroes of the North State and with My Umbrella Marketing, and we will be back again next month.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Mm-hmm.